Padawan Unlimited, the Star Wars Unlimited trading card game podcast. I am Gil, joined by my lovely co-hosts.
Gorgeous.
Rob and Corey, how are you guys doing?
Ahoy. Thank you for the compliment. Yeah.
Hello there.
Love it.
I guess I should say handsome. I don't know if it's mad too feminine to say lovely. Not that I guess it matters, because it's still good descriptive words, right? Adjectives? Is that the...
I mean, it's 2025, right? So...
Okay. So today, our main topic is going to be, I think, a little deeper than usual. It's still going to have a competitive slant to it, but we'll get to that in a moment. But before we even get to the segment for collection and then meta, I just want to give a couple shout outs to some people out there. Some of them I met in person. So this last weekend, I went to a planetary qualifier in, I guess, upstate New York. Connecticut.
Yeah.
So, tabletop gaming. And I met some listeners, actually. And they mentioned you, actually mentioned you guys. They were wondering where you guys were. So, I mean, I said that you weren't available, but people were asking about you. So, I want to give a shout out to one of the listeners, Tim. He actually collected the bounty. He pulled.
Good job, Tim.
Yeah, good job, Tim. He pulled an evacuate holographic evacuate legendary out of the pile.
Nice.
So he also got the card back, which, again, if anyone doesn't know what it looks like, it's literally the Padawan Unlimited logo on the back of a card sleeve. And so I've been giving them away whenever people come up to me. I have this raffle thing with like cards, pick one, and you can put a base on it, you know, like, and then I think that's a cool sleeve. Also shout out to Will. I don't know if he's actually listening. He was like just got into the game like a month ago. And we went 4-3 in this tournament, which is really cool. He was playing a Boba Yellow deck, and we ended up talking about breakers and stuff, which no one really, I mean, for those of you who are new, breakers are like the tiebreakers for placements within a tournament. And he was going through the statistics, and it went over my head. I mean, he was so enthusiastic, and I was like following a lot of it, but like it makes me think about all the math that needs to go into it, like within a tournament. To be able to place properly, like you want a 2-0, you want your people, you want your opponents to who you beat to go 2-1, you know, stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. Maybe we'll do a video on that or talk about statistics for a future episode.
Numbers,
man.
Gotta get numbers guy on for that.
I didn't say get numbers guy on.
Yeah, for those who don't know who numbers guy is, numbers guy's name is Philip. He is a McClunky gaming team member. So join the McClunky Discord if you can. I'll probably put the link in the description. But he has done really, really well in a lot of PQs. He has his day two buy for Galactic. So he's a really top-notch player. One of the best Han 1 players out there. And then finally, shout out to DeathRebel3165. He gave a comment about a deck and like shared the list with us. It was a Wedge Nabbit Village. Deck. It was spicy. It was interesting. I played some games. I just don't think I know how to hit that deck yet. I mean, especially with the entire pilot mechanic, like, you know, what he's trying to do. But maybe we'll do like a deck review too about it. So anyway, shout out Death Rebel. I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy losing, but I did enjoy building it and like playing the deck. I think that Wedge is actually a sneaky good leader that has some legs. Especially with the pilot ability.
Cool, definitely in like sealed and the drafting that we've done with him. He's always been interesting and has when he gets rolling, it's hard to stop.
Yeah, it for him, it's like the big play is that turn to dilapidated ski speeder with Biggs, because you can play it for three and then you activate his ability and play Biggs for free on top of that. So it goes, it gains grit. It comes in damaged with three and then it gains 2-1 from Biggs.
Yeah.
So it starts to swing like a monster.
I've played against that deck. It is scary when you see a turn to like 8, 12, whatever, however much damage it can do. It's crazy. But this one is the yellow version. So I'm interested to see. And that's probably why the lines.
So you couldn't use Biggs.
Can't do it. For... Yeah, the lines were a little weird for me, and that's probably what it was. Like, I still need to figure out that deck a little bit more. Anyway, it was a fun deck. I do like the idea of like piloting early. You could get some cheaper pilots out.
Right.
Just gotta figure it out. So anyway,
yeah, always sneaking stuff in before their curve is always good. So
yeah, or you know, that extra resource to be able to get the action economy later on in the game is pretty sweet. Okay. So anyway, That's it for the shout outs. Again, all you listeners out there, really appreciate you always. If you ever see us, please feel free to say, I mean, I'm speaking on behalf of Rob and Core. I don't know if they actually want you to say hi to them. I would assume
if I'm at an event, sure.
At the grocery store. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is actually pretty late tonight, so we'll not go like a full 45, almost an hour, but we'll probably try to cut it.
We say this. Let's see how we go.
I'm so tired. Okay. Yeah. So let's go on to the collection segment. And one day I think I'll think of like a music intro to each of these segments, you know? Mm-hmm. So what's on your mind, Corey? What do we got?
Well, collection wise, I know you were excited about a few things that you've acquired, and I'd love for you to show us what you've gotten because it's exciting. I'm so jealous because I haven't gotten to go to any of the regional or sectors, and I won't be able to go to the regional in Minnesota. So I have to live vicariously through you, Gil, and get those event exclusives. But I do want to talk about the Droid Con exclusives.
Ooh,
that was released. Last year was the year of the Dark Side, and so we got Con exclusive Dark Side cards. And Gil and Padawan Limited podcast, we're going to be giving one of those away exclusively.
Yeah.
So once we hit 500 subscribers, I believe.
Yeah, 500 subscribers on the YouTube is when we'll give it away.
Yeah. So this year for 2025, they've decided to reveal that the theme this year is droids. So we're getting six droid cards, just like we got six dark side cards, and two of them are from not even Legends of Force, but two of them are from Secrets of Power, which is pretty cool. So we get an R2 that's in Secrets of Power, as well as another droid, which is I can't think of it off the top of my head.
It's C-3PO, right?
No, Chopper? The 4-1 Chopper?
Chopper, thank you. Chopper and C-3PO. Chopper and 3CPO.
And those there's BD.
And then BD the Jedi Survivor, right?
Yeah, but is it two from Legends of the Force then? Because BD is definitely in Legends of the Force.
Yeah, he's in Legends of the Force, but the other two are Secrets of Power, I believe.
Yeah, you can't play until the set comes out. You just have these cards.
Which, July. We're going to wait till the next set.
November-ish.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, very exciting. I'm curious what you guys think about the designs, because I think they're cool, because this is not cards we're ever going to play with, I would say.
Right.
They're kind of like blueprints of the blueprint-esque designs of the droids, right?
So, for me, I was a little bit, I think that, just start by saying, I think the designs are great. I think that it's really, really cool, interesting. I was a little bit underwhelmed because in the first because in the first Con exclusive box, all those cards for the most part were playable. Maybe Asajj wasn't, right? All those other cards had some application. And you would be you could play with them. So there was a desire to get a playset and put those cards into things. I think with this one, I don't know. Maybe I'll get one. Maybe I'll get one just so I have.
But the collector in me, I gotta.
I'm not gonna be. I'm not gonna be so focused on trying to get all three.
Playset.
Exactly, because it's just I think it's a cool. They're a cool concept, but I don't know if I'm never gonna play with the cards. Because it's three of them are pilots. R2 pilot. Maybe you might play with.
C-3PO looks really good. Power.
But where I'm going with this is I felt they weren't in the Secrets of Power in the Dark Side set. It's you got three legendaries. You got Kylo, you got Maul, and you got Vader. Set one Vader.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think three of these are legendary.
No, Maul would be legendary. We just figured he'd be legendary because all these are labeled as special.
The S. Yeah. Yeah, but. If you look at the natural quote unquote rarity of the cards, they're all going to be, I think maybe the L3 is a rare. I think that's it, maybe C-3PO or Chopper will be legendary in Secrets of Power, but
I'm not too fussed about the legendary or the rating, I guess, like the rarity. Mm-hmm. I'm like, for me, I'm definitely gonna try every time because I want to show it off. Like those cards.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Those colors.
Oh, they look great.
Look freaking, yeah. They look freaking amazing. The blueprint thing going on. If I if they weren't pricey, I'd probably stick them on a wall. Like actually,
yeah.
You know
no,
what I mean?
I would say like it would be cool to frame them and stuff like that. So
yeah, those look like really cool, like trading cards, like actual trading cards. You know,
yeah.
So
cool. But yeah, Gil. What do you got there? Because I'm excited to see what you acquired.
No, so the first thing I acquired was a Gore champion card. So the story behind this Gore is that I was playing Getsu, who is someone who's been on the podcast before, and we had a store showdown. It was just us two, and we decided to split it, the pricing. This was before the ban on that, so this was legit. It was for a local store, and we decided to split it, and he was going to sell the card. He was unable to sell it for this long period of time, and I was like, "Can I just have it? let me. Can I buy out your half?" And so I did. But at the end of the day, even though I didn't earn it at that tournament, what we played was he was playing Bossk Blue, and I was playing Han 1 Yellow. And so I feel like I was favored in that matchup, which I think I should. But then also, literally the next week, we went to a planetary qualifier together, and we practiced the night before, and I beat him in his best of three with those same decks. So like I kind of earned it. So anyway, so I have my champion card for Gore. Nice. And then the other one that I got for the collection was actually the Kylo Ren like promo from the sector qualifier. It's kind of hard to see. I know, and if you're listening, you can't see what I'm talking about. But the Kylo Ren is the day two card. It is a very vibrant or dark. I don't know how to explain it. Like dark, vibrant red. Okay. With some black. And
black borders.
Black borders.
Real cool.
Silver lining. And it's embossed. So like there's a lift to the card itself. So it goes well with the Obi-Wan that I had. And also I did procure this Kylo from Getsu as well. So it's still in the family.
Nice.
Even though, so these are the two together, and hopefully I get to earn, hopefully I'll earn the Rey at the regional qualifiers. Cause that card looks really good too. Anyway, yeah, that's my collection.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, I don't know. Did you want to do some spoilers here in this collection segment? Because they dropped a ton of spoilers. My goodness. I don't know if we need to go through all of them, but I do want to highlight the fact that they dropped the Knights of the Old Republic cards. And like almost all of them. It's like, what? We talked about it a little bit. And it's like, yeah. Was Ruben coming? We thought it was coming. And there is Darth Revan as a leader, which is mono black.
Yeah.
Shame he's garbage.
Mono black. That's interesting. Like, we haven't had a leader that's been a mono color before like that. I'm very excited to see what people do, because obviously, as of now, without seeing all the other cards, because we do get support from them later, but it's like, how are you going to build a deck with this?
Well, you have two colors, because whatever your base is.
Yeah, so, two colors. So like every other deck is three colors.
Unless you're running Hera, Lake Country, then it's two.
I'm just saying, I know. And or if you want to do Lake Country Revan, it's like now you're going one color. Mono black completely.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what? His showcase
It's gonna be gorgeous.
I mean, hopefully, it's not a face. It's a mask, so it's gonna look good, right?
Yeah. Well, look at Kylo, right? Kylo's showcase is if not the best showcase, right?
Yeah.
And so, absolutely, it's gotta hit, man. It's gotta hit.
No. It's going to. I'm just disappointed because I'm not convinced with his leader abilities. Like maybe I'm gonna be proven wrong. I'm proven wrong plenty of times, but like. It just feels like for those of you who haven't seen it yet, his leader side ability before he flips is when a friendly unit attacks and defeats a unit, you may exhaust this leader. And if you do, give an experience token to that friendly unit. So you have to like throw attacks at things to kill them to get a plus one, plus one.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, he flips on five. He's a 3/6, restore one, which isn't terrible, actually, particularly in Villainous. But it's the same ability. Now it's just ongoing. So when a friendly unit attacks and defeats a unit, you may give an experience token to that friendly unit. So, like, with units that have Overwhelm, it won't be too bad. And if he gets a lot of Overwhelm support, he could be interesting. But it feels like you'd just rather attack base.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It seems like you're incentivized to do Overwhelm. It's too combo-y, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But they did share all 15 Legends cards. Legends being, like, non-canonical.
Extended universe, yes.
Yeah, and they're all from, like, Knights of the Old Republic. But they did the... I feel like they did the light side dirty. Like, where's all the light side people? You talked about Bastille last week, and I was like, where's this leader? I don't know. You have the droids. You have Malak.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I guess we're not getting them still. A leader or unit or
that's it. No, they said
maybe
that
they'll be in Secrets of Power.
Yeah, they said it was 15 cards, right?
Yeah, 15, total? And they shared all 15. They had the Jedi Counselor, Jedi Guardian, whatever. They had all those other units. I was like, okay, but where's where are the iconic characters? I want them.
Yeah, so I mean, the two that we did get that are pretty iconic was Darth Malak, right? Yeah. His is interesting.
Because it's any Sith, right?
As a lead, if you control a leader, right? So his ability is he's a 5-cost mono black 4/7 with Overwhelm, and when played, if you control a Sith leader, so you have to have the Sith leader deployed
as a unit.
You may ready Malak, essentially. So
he comes in ready.
He comes in ready. And then you also had HK-47, and HK-47 is a legendary, which is amazing, because, I mean, come on. It's HK-47. He's got to be legendary. He's legendary. I love that. He's a 2-cost red, black, and 2/4. When the enemy unit is defeated, deal 1 damage to controller's base. So he could scale real high, right?
Yeah.
So that's interesting to see how he comes out. Turn 1 play there. You might not even want to play him turn 1, but
later he's useful pretty much whenever you play him. The one that I saw aside from HK, because HK does look really good. Liberated by Darkness. It's just better what do you call it? Not two sides.
What are you trying to say?
I had to think of that. Better change of heart.
Okay.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. But this one's just black, though. This is just villain. Gil was alluding to it. Well, right, sorry. Change of heart is a yellow, just mono yellow. This is yellow black. So, again, given the
side. Yellow and, more tools.
But also, the villain, no hero.
Yeah, for those of you who don't know, Change of Heart is a 7-cost. You choose any
six
non-leader.
Cost.
6? I thought it was 7.
Change of Heart.
Oh, no, it's 7 because...
You want to play it 7 with Palpatine.
Yeah, you want to play it at 7 with Palpatine. Yeah, so it's a 6-cost, take control of any unit, non-leader unit, and you have to give it back at the end of the turn. Liberated by Darkness is now just a 5-cost, and you get to... As long as you have a force, you get to take care of... you get to take control of any unit. There's going to be so many force units that it's just a cheaper Change of Heart.
Well, it's a force token, right? If you
it's a force token.
Use the force. You got to spend the force token.
So you take a force unit and then attack and get it back.
Yeah, I was surprised. We just got generic Jedi, generic. I was like, generic, that's generic. What?
So I'm saying they didn't do it right. I mean, come on, really? Like, this is how, I'm not usually a Debbie Downer in this sense, but I knew it. They were not going to go all out. Like, they might have done some fan service with Revan, but then they ignored everyone else. Except for the dark side, they don't do. Why do they like the dark side so much and cunning? This is the designer's thing.
This crazy is the heroes that are winning all these tournaments though are actual hero they're white leaders, right? You got Sabine winning. We got Quillen's winning.
You got Kira. You got Kira.
Yeah.
Fair.
Recently,
Anakin's get right up there, but yeah.
Sorry.
Also, do
you
want to
shout out something else, Gil? Another.
I was gonna say speculation here. I mean, do you think we're gonna get a villainous Anakin in this one? Anakin just before he turns?
No, they're not creative enough. They're not creative enough for that.
I want to get the youngling as a but, as a.
You know what? I was wrong about Knights of the Old Republic. Yeah. So I mean,
they went full on KOTOR. So
yeah, don't trust me. We might have to cut out this part of the segment because my computer got all messed up. But well, this last like minute or so. Two spoilers, I guess, real quickly that I really like is Luke Skywalker, a new Luke Skywalker that came out. Just heroism, which is for 4 costs, 3 attack, 5 power. Hazen, when you play another unique unit, so unique unit has a little diamond that goes next to it. Mm-hmm. So Sabine Wren is a unique unit, and they have a little title underneath it. Mm-hmm. You can add a experience and shield token to Luke. Which is
that's crazy.
Donkulous.
He's going to turn into a monster. Yeah.
So and then you know you add the other one that I was like really a fan of because I'm just a Rebels fan is Ezra Bridger. Yeah. He's a 3/3/5. Okay, and he has an on attack ability that you can give an experience token to another creature or Spectre unit. So it's only really useful for like the Herodex, I guess. Because you want Spectre, but he has Force, Jedi, Rebel, Spectre. He is like a cracked card. Like stat line is so good. All those
he's uncommon too.
All those, which is great for like drafts and stuff, right? But his on attack is. I mean, it's only you only get an experience token to a creature, a Spectre. But like, whew.
Sabine is a Spectre.
Yeah, I know, right? And
the thing is, like, all these cards, they're stickier. They're adding more health to a lot of these cards, right? So, that's what I've noticed.
And they said they were going to be doing that to ground units.
So let's talk about that. So let's go into Meta. We've talked about this for a while. So Meta, seems like this next set is like a power boost, like an actual power boost. And I think they about that. But it seems
for ground units specifically.
So it seems like there's definitely going to be a shakeup, like an actual true shakeup potentially with the set. I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
I mean, ground is already pretty strong, frankly. Like, you look at who's winning right now, and it's Quinlan, it's Anakin, it's a lot of like 3/5 bodies. Throw them out in the field and make your opponent chew through that. So now we're just getting even cheaper 3/5. So I think there's going to be a shift back to it's going to be one of two things. It's going to be a shift back to like. I wonder. I keep predicting control, but you know, I wonder if we're going to get a shift back to hard control because, like, trying to chew through it with like those types of stat lines with just raw, you know, damage, it's not really efficient, and you end up kind of falling behind.
And it's not even like that; they're cheaper. It's these 3/5s have abilities now, right? We have Liberated Slaves as 3/5, but does nothing, right?
Right.
Now we're getting 3/5s that are. Doing things as well that are interesting, and we had that before, obviously with legendary Bobas and
but they were like higher rarity. That was usually the thing. It was like,
but now, now things are getting tougher to remove here, and things will stay on the board longer. It's gonna be real interesting, and this set, every time we get a new set, I'm so excited for. It's like this is gonna be the set that's like this is gonna be amazing.
Well, the other thing to kind of think about in regards to that is part of the reason that, like, for example, Quinlan's very strong is you get a bunch of 3/5s, but now coordinate is live. Like, those bodies stay on a lot longer. So now suddenly you're hitting coordinates, and some of those coordinates that were like maybe borderline or you weren't sure that the unit was worth it now might actually, you know, be worth it because you're going to have those units that stay out for a long period of time. And then now you can start to hit those as well. The other thing I wanted to kind of point out, and I know this is going to make Gil happy, though this is a little bit jumping into the lore. If you look in the background on Ezra, there's some Purgles back there, baby.
The creatures.
We're going to get, I mean, they're going to be like a legendary, right? Like, probably.
Legendary Purgle? I don't know.
Legendary Purgles. I mean, you know, just in terms of rarity within the universe, it probably makes sense. But anyway, to bring it back to meta stuff, I was taking a looking at this weekend, and of course, I finally got to my locals recently. You look at the regional qualifiers, you look at the last two big tournaments, the one in France and the one in the US. I think it was the PQs these past weekends. And Quinlan, baby. I'm not shocked entirely by this. Well, it's Quinlan, and then the other one is Kira Dateable. And I think we're going to be seeing a lot more Dateable. So apparently I was really wrong about that one. Shout out to Corey for accurately calling that Dateable was going to be pretty big. It's interesting to see what's kind of happening right now. Again, you talked about it a little bit, Corey, but there's been a shift to like hero based or not hero based decks, but the hero decks are kind of winning right now, and it's Quinlan and Sabine's back. Hooray.
Yep. And we had a Ray win.
Yeah, there was a Ray Data Vault that won. Yep. So there's been a lot of shift to that, and it's interesting to see that specifically Data Vault prevalence. Not so much with Colossus, because the five extra health, while it's great, the five starting cards, if you kind of brick on that, it's not great, and then it's also susceptible to hand destruction. But the three extra health is enough to get you to turn the corner with some of these slightly slower decks, mm-hmm. Which is really important. So that's why you're seeing Kira Data Vault, which, you know, Kira Green had been a thing, you know, in set two and a little bit into set three. But when control kind of fell out of favor, she kind of disappeared, but she's back on the rise. And I think the big reason is Data Vault keeps her live. And the only thing that you're doing, and this is the thing about, I think, Data Vault in general, is that really those 10 extra cards, what you're doing is putting in cards that might have been like side grade but do the same thing. So, you know, you're adding in extra removal spells, you're adding in extra units that instead of having, you know, three Vaders and two Mauls, or two Vaders and a Maul, you just go with three and three, right? You know, you're adding in cards that you kind of wanted anyway.
Yeah, better chances to get them.
Yeah. Now you have a better, yeah, exactly. And so you can, instead of having to run a one of or a two of because you wanted to keep it as close to 50 as possible, now, well, you got to go to 60. And so you're just adding those three ofs and three ofs. And so now there's more consistency in the deck in terms
of
that. And
that, I think, is viable now because we are at four sets, where like before we just added so many more cards. It makes it a little easier to find those equivalents in your deck and to kind of slot them in there. So it makes it easier to say, and makes it easier to kind of swallow that 10 extra card percentage.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, I'm even thinking about it in terms of like Kira Data Vault. You're like, okay, cool. Like, I would only usually run Power of the Dark Side, but now I might run Power of the Dark Side and Merciless Contest in equal numbers, because they're effectively the same cost card. And if you're not playing units, the Merciless Contest is basically just Power of the Dark Side. You're getting a lot of those cards that you wanted. Again, you just wanted to have access to that might have been a little bit side grade. I think it's a win-win. And then seeing it on index, like I've actually been seeing a lot of Luke 1 Data Vault as well. Seeing Data Vault with who's the other one?
Ray.
Well, yeah, Ray. You know, Ray.
That's,
you know,
the one that won. And that, yeah. The guy who was piloting that is on the McClunky Discord talking about it.
Yeah. Yep. I also think it did well at one, like, Lil, right?
Am I wrong? It did. That's the thing is, I think they're pretty much doing the same thing. It's just a matter of, do you want to increase your power as well as defending your units, mm-hmm. or do you want to just kind of keep your units a little stickier with those shields? And so, it's very similar decks, but I think Rey is a better one just because it also has that restore when she comes out, and she's real hard to get rid of. So, I don't know. The other thing you mentioned, Colossus with Anakin, like the two decks, there was two Anakin blues in top eight at France, which was 860 players, by the way. That was huge. Yeah. The biggest Swoo tournament yet. And both those were 30-point blue bases and not Colossus, because they didn't want to have that
the hand
card disadvantage.
So what, it's interesting, I was talking to one of our locals, Tyler, who's been playing Anakin blue, and he was playing Anakin blue Colossus initially. He's actually been toying around with going to Anakin Data Vault, and there's actually some legs there. Like, I think it's really interesting because you now have access to things like Dogfight, So you can like turn, you can turn Anakin, like you can just have Anakin attack things and overwhelm again on the turn that he flips. You have access to like a lot of like interesting cards that now suddenly, you know, you already had bravado, but now you got dogfight, now you got a couple other things, and like you know, you're just swapping out some of the hard removal for, you know, just more utility with Anakin. And frankly, Anakin was your closer anyway, so making him, you know, more giving him more utility and opportunity to swing more is frankly kind of terrifying.
I think the deck that won France was a Sabine Data Vault, not a ECL, which was very surprising to a lot of people, I believe, right? And so I could see, because we talked when Anakin was coming out, I was like, oh, is Anakin gonna be faster than Sabine? Like, we were talking about that. I remember thinking Anakin might be the better red hero unit guy because of what he's doing. And yeah, give him that little extra health there. It's pretty scary. Red green's a good combo in heroism, so I can see that being pretty strong.
Yeah, and like, you know, you don't have ECL, but you still have timely intervention. So like, yes, okay, you're not playing Wrecker on six now. You're playing him on seven if you're playing it from your hand. You know, but Wrecker coming out, you know, ready on seven is still pretty strong. He's a 7/6 with overwhelm, so it's like,
it's so,
you know,
tough though. It's like 60 card deck, and you have three cards that you gotta find in that 60 card deck, and then you gotta hold it, and then and it's taking up a slot, right? So
yeah,
it's tough. I mean, it's awesome. So
yeah, I mean, and you can still just like, you know, have it be a because you can smuggle it, right? It costs two then, but you know, so it's.
So do we think that do you think the meta is going to shift to like a pure data vault meta? I don't know if I could say that. Let's say it like that. Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I was honestly being like, can I do it with Han Green right now? And the answer is no, because you want specific combos with Han Green and dilute, and like adding more cards in.
Han 1 Green, right? You're not talking about
Han 1 Green, correct. Yeah, okay.
Because Han 2 Green is pretty spicy too.
Yeah. I mean, again, red green. We got red green heroism, so it's strong. I think it goes in waves here, right? You know, Tarkentown was everywhere. Tarkentown.
And it's still
with
everywhere.
These beefier units, Tarkentown's going away. I think people are going to have to move off of Tarkentown because you have these bases that are giving you extra health. And now, what if you're going against Data Vault and you're in Tarkentown? You have an 8-point difference that you have to overcome. That's tough. And now if these units are coming out beefier than ever and your Tarkentown's not removing something that it should be removing, it just makes it, there's no reason to do it at that point. So I think we will be moving away from Tarkentown specifically, and
the Data Vault is,
the 25 points, I think ECL is still really good, but
it is
the Data Vault one is a nice compromise because you're getting three extra health, and that three extra health is a lot more significant than you imagine because it messes with the math. Like, we were so used to these round numbers, right? And so that three extra is really very much a factor for when people are playing and like trying to get these units out, because a lot of the cards are not necessarily like, oh, all these things combo up to be a perfect 30 or 25 or whatever, but a lot of times your attack powers, where they're ending and where there's like, it's like 29 or 32. It's like, that's where like it's, things are falling. And so, it has been and saved me a bunch where I hit 31, 32, and I was able to close out a game because of that. And those 10 cards, again, like you said, Rob, we're just adding cards that are doing similar things to the things we want. And so when we get them, it's like, okay, I can still do the thing I want to do, but not as well. And it's not necessarily slowing me down as much. So, Data Vault's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and at its core, really what it means is, because if you figure, like, particularly when you're looking at like aggro decks, right? Like, aggro decks want to drop a three attack thing on turn one, on turn two, like, and so on and so forth up the line. And when you were talking about a 30-point base, it was like, okay, I have to do 10 attacks. I have to hit 10 attacks a base to get there. Now you got to get to 11 attacks. And that one more doesn't sound like a lot, but it's not insignificant, and particularly against decks that like have restore. So I played a very, very grindy game, a couple grindy games actually last night, running Hanwon Green against like against Luke Data Vault. And it's like, if you get the right combo with Han, you'll run him through because it's so fast, right? But if you don't and you get into like a more grindy game, trading back and forth, once those, you know, those, particularly those blue decks that start to get restore, get to the table, and they just start chipping some of that health back, it adds more attacks that you got to put into there, and it can come down to, did I draw the right card at the right time? Because like Han can do it, right? Like Han can get there, you know, between, you know, Han unit and like a couple other things that'll like strike you up to like, you know, 6 or 8 attack, but it takes a lot to get there, and if you don't get the right cards at the right time, it's you're hoping that you turn the corner, you know.
I get it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a lot of times one extra turn of 3 damage that and a game can change in one turn. Like completely change in one turn, and the longer a game goes on, the harder it is for especially a more aggressive player to win, because now they've stabilized and they're controlling you at this point, like hard. I guess we will see. I mean, that's an interesting take, Corey, that we'll see less Tarkentown. Is that your spicy take?
That's my spicy take. I think we'll see less Tarkentowns. Yep.
Okay. And then Rob, what's your
with the Legends of the Force set.
With Legends. Okay. There's your caveat. Until next set, we're going to
see.
That's
what I was talking about. Specifically, we're getting bigger bodies. Yeah. Okay. With the bigger bodies, we'll be seeing less.
For this meta, for this set, going into right before the Galactic Championship, Rob,
we will have Legends of the Force.
Yeah,
leading into it
before we even get to that, like there's a journey that we need to take. There's 2 months and a half.
The road to Galactics.
There's a month and a half of PQs that need to occur because people are going to be playing their buys. People are going to try to get trying to win to get their buys, so they don't have to grind an entire day.
They won
games, right?
8, 9, 10 hours. Yeah.
Is the meta going to be Data Vault only heavy? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
I think until otherwise proven, you got to beat Quinlan.
Okay,
Quinlan is your guy. Okay.
I think so. I think right now he's probably the strongest deck in the meta, and it's proving out to some extent. Like you look at his representation, you look at his top placements. He's always there. There's usually at least 2 of them. And sometimes it comes down to piloting, right? Like sometimes it comes to getting a good matchup or not, or draws, right? But I think Quinlan has a good match into most everything.
Yeah.
It's a Tarkentown deck. So yeah, it's only 25, but he doesn't care.
Yeah.
Like he goes so wide, so fast and can control your board, you know, so well early that you can't keep up. So unless you have like the answers for it, I don't know if it's is there. But what I think is interesting, and I think it's why we're seeing a rise in Kira. I do think Kira is a strong counter into Quinlan or like hard control. I think the problem is going to be is if Sabine, you know, like that. And I think that's why you're seeing Kira instead of like say a Palpatine, right? Because Palpatine still just kind of loses to Sabine, but Kira has some game into Sabine at least, and if you go like the control route with her and then you've got Data Vault on top of it,
a real good Kira player shouldn't be losing to Sabines anymore, especially if you're not on ECL.
If you're on Data Vault,
you should be winning those matchups like 90% of the time. Like truly,
yeah.
It's just too hard because they have we talked about earlier. They have Power of the Dark Side and then redundancy with Merciless Contest. They have Ground Sentinels. The only way, the true way to get underneath a Kira with a Sabine is you have to go space as fast as you can and just start whacking away. In my opinion, or get lucky enough to be able to pull off a Darksaber that like they haven't been able to remove. You know what I mean? So. So again, it's 11 p.m. now, so we've been at this for a little bit. Last topic that I want to talk about is related to meta in some form or fashion, but it's about not giving up, Right. I think that's the main topic, the final topic I want to talk about today. Not giving up. And we'll talk about the competitive side of not giving up, because that's what that's where we are now. We're back in the PQ season. You know, my personal experience is that I did very terribly at Richmond, and I did not play any side events, so I couldn't redeem myself with like those like I did in Milan, where I, you know, did really well in the side events. And, you know, I was pretty depressed for at least a couple of days, you know. I was like, oh, man, I actually prepared. Like, that's the thing. I usually don't really prepare for, like, competitions. Like, I'll just play a handful of games, like, the week of, and I'm like, let's see what happens. But I actually tried, right? I actually tested against things. I did it, and I just did not do well at all. So there was a couple of days where I was actually pretty frustrated at the game. I was playing Petrinaki, and then I was, like, losing, like, every friggin' game. And so I was in a very wonky headspace. So I kind of want to talk about how does someone overcome that? Because at least for me, I ended up going to a planetary qualifier this past Sunday, and I did really well, right? I got 5-2. And I X2'd. I was just out of the top 16. I you know, some things went my way. I probably could have gone in the top 8. And that was 114 players. So I actually did, I think I got like 19th in terms of placement. So pretty good, not the best, but pretty good.
Awesome.
But you know, I didn't give up. I'm actually curious to know, talk about that with you guys. Like, have you ever, if you're open to talk about that, have you ever felt that way about the game?
Well, about this game specifically, no, but, as a card player, that is definitely something that happens a lot. Yeah. And, tilting is a thing, right? You start spiraling down a path and you just can't stop because you just need that. Unfortunately, so I am a poker player and I play I used to play poker a lot. Like every week I was playing maybe 20 plus hours of poker easily. And in that game, there's a lot of money on the line a lot of times, and so you can start tilting really fast, and then you just start like making bad plays, and you're not thinking about how you can do better. You're thinking about how you can recover what you've lost, right? And so in this game and in card games in general, when you start to lose, a lot of that can get in your head, and you can start to think that everything that I'm doing is bad and wrong, and why am I even doing this? And to your point, like, we shouldn't be giving up at that point. What I need to do is take a step back. Like, as you, like you said, for a few days you were in a bad spot and you're playing Petrinaki Arena and you were just like doing terribly and not having a good time. You need to kind of take a step back and look at it from a different angle, right? You can't continually to keep pushing, because instead of going the way you want to go, which is back to a better, clear headspace, you're going deeper into that, you know, darkness of bad gameplay, bad, you know, moves. And then every time you make a play that's terrible, you're just kicking yourself, and you gotta let it go. You gotta be that goldfish where you're not letting that last play dictate the rest of your game, right?
Interesting. How about you, Rob? Does your sentiments reflect that as well?
Yeah, for sure. Like it, with this game, like I go through, you know, highs and lows, for sure. Like I've been like on, I'd say probably like a low run recently, just because like we talked about it a lot. Like I had my deck, like I knew what I was playing. Like I knew what, and it was just like, I still kind of really haven't found my deck yet.
And so FFG took it away from you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not mad about it. It wasn't healthy for the meta, but you know, like I had the deck that I like to play and I understood how to play it. And I was like, I'm all in on this and I'm ready to go. And now I was winning. I knew my lines. I knew, you know, like that. And then now I'm back to kind of square one. And it's, you know, because I'm still trying to find it. Like I was joking around with Elemental Mike and the, you know, the crew that I play with at Bearded on Tuesdays. And it's just like, yeah, I'm going to be piloting this Han green deck really badly because I just don't know the lines. And, you know, it's like, it's a good deck, but I just don't know it as well as I knew some of the other ones. And on top of it, Han 1 is very complicated, frankly. There's a lot of different things that you have to take into account when you resource, when you don't, and you know, all that kind of stuff, and what you resource. So you know, getting back to, you know, finding something that is fun because sometimes it feels like, man, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm grinding at these games and I'm just losing and I'm losing and I'm losing and I'm losing and it just does not feel good. But I think, you know, it goes back to what I always kind of say about games, and specifically like it's related more to board games and whatnot. If you don't come to the table, you may want to come to the table to win, right? You want to play to win, but you shouldn't be coming to the table with that being your only goal in mind. You should the getting the joy out of like playing the game, win or lose, I think is something that you always just want to kind of keep in the back of your head. It's like,
find the
you
fun. Know,
yeah, exactly. Like, because if you start to get into that, if I don't win, I'm not having a good time, then I don't care how good you are, you're probably not going to have a good time a lot of the time.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, those are some interesting perspectives. I don't necessarily know if I actually feel necessarily the same way, but I think that's okay because like every person has their own different perspective, right, of how it gets approached. Because for me, it's not always actually about having fun. Like, you know, like I don't actually always play to have fun. I play because like I want to become technically proficient in something. You know what I mean? And winning is the thing that happens.
The measure of that.
I actually get more mad when I make bad plays. I'm like, I should not have made this mistake, right? And I get more upset about that.
I could understand
you
that.
Know?
Yeah.
And like, I think for me, I can't goldfish. That's just not who I am. Like, I will always remember like when something bad happens to me, right? And I think for me, the strategy that I've employed is that like I recognize when a situation is making me feel bad, right? Like I kind of like not talk myself through it. I'm just like, oh, okay. Now, why did it make me feel bad? It's because someone was mean to me. Like, was the opponent like?
Yeah, dissect.
I actually try to dissect a little bit more because then you get to the root of the problem. Like that, and that's why I say like for me, it's actually not about winning. It's about not making mistakes. And that's only because I only came to that realization because I have reflected on why I was like depressed about certain things. Like, oh, I let myself down. Right? It wasn't my deck, you know.
Right. And, yeah, you make
so like
mistakes.
you don't care if you lose as long as you play well, effectively. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I can't. For example, I lost against of the Vader Yellow deck. I can't be mad that I didn't draw a Bright Hope. Like, that's not my fault. You know, like there's physically nothing I could have done to stop that game because the thing I needed was this one card to stop space. You know, that now if I had it in my hand and then I didn't play it, you know, that would be a different story. Like, I was like, you know, and I think also for me, what I've also found in terms of how do I get over like this funk, like when you feel like you're about to give up, right? Talking to other people really helps. And like, one thing I did is, I didn't grind, actually, this past week. I didn't grind a lot of games. What I did was I did the quality over quantity approach, and I played games with people on the McClunky Discord. Not even like team members. Shout out to Smigatoni. He's playing Hanwon Green. He's going to Planetary Qualifier on the 10th in St. Louis. And so we did some training together. So I got some reps against Hanwon Green. He didn't really have any competitive people to play with over there. So we did best of three. We did multiple best of threes. We talked through the lines. I actually ended up talking with I don't know if anyone's listened to Hannon's. He's also a content creator, or his name is Will, but his channel is called Hannon's. He's a really, really good Sabine player. And so I actually talked to him for like almost like an hour about like Sabine. Like this is the quality stuff that matters, and this is how I've decided to overcome it, knowing that my root problem is that like I don't like to make mistakes, right? Anyway, that's my approach.
That's great too. Like, I think like the goldfish thing is obviously you need to be learning from your mistakes. I don't want you to just be like, hey, forget everything and let's move to the next thing, and it's like it doesn't matter. No, obviously you want to learn from the mistakes if you can, but when you make mistakes, if you're not learning from, that's when it like really can spiral, because you're going to make the same mistakes over and over again. And so as long as you're able to make learn from that, I think that that'll help. And like, as you said, talking it through, talking about the things that are upsetting you or giving you issues and preventing you from continually playing the game. And that's really important, because for me, like, I want to continue to improve at the game. I don't want to just be like, oh, I'm just going to be here and never get better. I want to continue to get better at the game, get better understanding of what the game is. And I know a lot of the things that are preventing me from doing that is making similar mistakes. And it's like, why am I always making these same mistakes? And yeah, I don't want to give up and be like, oh, I'm just going to forget about this. I want to try to overcome that and be better at this game. Because it is something that is bringing me joy. So
yeah. No, that's a good conversation. It's just one of those things that I think, again, these are all always the kind of topics I like to talk about at the end, because everyone talks about meta, everyone talks about collection stuff. We do too, but it's, you know, there's other aspects of the game and other aspects of life that may or may not affect you and affect your enjoyment of it. And selfishly, I want all of you guys to keep playing. So I need you all
more
happy.
New players.
I need all you happy and ready to keep going, keep grinding the games out so I can meet you at PQs. I can give you free stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Find Gil, Padawan Unlimited, and play some get some bounties.
Yeah, collect those bounties. So I didn't add the showcase during the PQ. I feel like that's like a Galactic qualifier type thing. Like I'll put some showcases in there. You know what I mean? Like, but also I had a deck of 5 cards. I'm gonna add like a deck of like 100. So like you have to like search, like dig for it. You know what I mean? But also I think about
fun.
So that was kind of heavy topic late at night. So we'll stop there. But I think some other final thoughts I had just in general was that like I did create a Patreon. But I haven't advertised it and I haven't published it yet. It's created. You know, think of the tiers and what other stuff we can do. So we don't discuss that now, but like that's something that I know we need to discuss on our own. We have our own Discord now, kind of. I don't know, you know, but we'll figure out if we want to publish that. It's mostly just for us to coordinate. So
there you go.
We'll see if it becomes official.
Let us know if you guys wanna have a space like that.
Yeah. You know, comments, send an email, gil@padawanlimited.com. Let us know. Maybe we'll do a survey of some sort of what you guys like, what the listeners want to hear and what they want to talk about, or what kind of services they experience, like group experiences they want to have, you know. Maybe I'll put that in, maybe not this podcast, but like in the future, just so we get there, because we're at the point where like 300 avid listeners on a weekly basis, which is like a lot of people. For podcasts specifically, I'm just like surprised at the number. I was like, oh my gosh, people listen to us?
apparently, yes.
Apparently they do. You would never be able to tell it, but like, yeah, anyway. So again, it's pretty late at night. Guys, I appreciate your time. Appreciate you with your leading the segments. I appreciate you also it being a little more open about your personal experiences when it comes to just like being down on the game and like how you overcome it, like how do you get better. And I appreciate everyone else who's listening. Until next time, may the force be with you.